This is a Clearview Original.
This episode of the Clearview Today Show is brought to you by Mighty Muscadine. David, how's your immune system lately?
Honestly, it's in critical condition.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. What if I told you that similar to our immune systems, which produce more antibodies when under attack, the muscadine grape also produces more damage-fighting antioxidants when under stress from the environment it grows in, which leads to a whole host of health benefits.
I might just gobble them up like Tic Tacs.
Well, my friend, MightyMuscadine.com has everything you could ever need to take your health game to the next level. All their products are gluten-free, trans-fat-free, non-GMO, dairy-free, and best of all, they actually taste delicious.
I had some of their protein powder just this morning, and it is delicious.
I know that's right.
Their grape juice, delicious.
Tell it.
Their antioxidant beverages, delicious. Their shampoo, their body lotion, all delicious.
What?
And I'll tell you something else. Mighty Muscadine believes in protecting God's great earth for generations to come. That's why their farming and production is environmentally friendly, and they make every effort to protect and preserve without the use of pesticides and herbicides.
You ate shampoo, though.
The only problem is I'm a little short on funds.
Well, fret no more, my friend. You can visit MightyMuscadine.com right now and use the promo code TODAY. That's T-O-D-A-Y to unlock exclusive savings at checkout. Again, that's promo code T-O-D-A-Y at checkout to enjoy a significant discount on your purchase of Mighty Muscadine products. And listen, every single dollar you spend using that promo code helps support us here at the Clearview Today Show.
Visit their website now. That's MightyMuscadine.com and experience the difference firsthand. Remember, that promo code is TODAY, T-O-D-A-Y.
Welcome to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
And you can find our show online by visiting clearviewtodayshow.com. Or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah, suggestions for new topics, or you want to say hey to us, write in and let us know at 252-582-5028. Or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right. And you can help us keep the conversation going forward by supporting the show. You can share it online with your friends and your family. You can leave us a good 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify. Absolutely nothing less than 5 stars for any reason. We're going to leave some links in the description so you can do just that.
Today is April the 4th, which means that our date, the word, is coming from Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God."
That's hard to hear, man. I love bread.
I do love some bread.
I love carbs.
I do love some bread.
I love bread. But I mean, you see what he's saying? Like, the food that we eat here on earth is not enough to sustain you, not
right.
Spiritually anyway. You have to feed on the word of God. It has to become your food to where every single day you feel it when
right.
You miss it. And it's funny because the longer you go without it, the less you start to miss it.
Yeah.
But you will ultimately start to decay from within.
Yeah. That's a base need that we don't really have any control over, our
right.
level of hunger. I mean, that's
right.
our body saying, hey, it's time for fuel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting to me that is the first temptation that Satan used against Jesus
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
was hunger. I mean, he felt those hunger pangs after being in the desert for 40 days. But Jesus says here, he says, more important for me than actual physical food is the word of God.
That's right.
And if we're being honest, we don't treat the word of God that way most times.
That's right.
We don't look at the word of God and our absence from the word of God as like hunger pangs. Like, I'm feeling the need to dive into God's word.
That's right.
We ought to.
And they're connected. Hunger, like food and God's word are connected because the very first instance of any body in the Bible deviating from God's word was in Genesis 3, where Satan said, you know, has God indeed said?
Yeah.
It's literally the very first sin was brought about by casting doubt upon the authority of God's word.
Right.
And it's just so happened to involve some food.
Right.
So you see how they're connected, and you see how the word of God literally fills us and
yep.
nourishes us. And like Ryan said, it fuels us. It's what keeps us spiritually going. But we're so quick to neglect it because we can't feel that hunger as
yeah.
readily as we
yeah.
feel that physical hunger.
That's right.
So one of the things to keep in mind, another thing you guys can keep in mind is that this episode is brought to you by the Date the Word app. A lot of people have written and said that they've actually been able to download this app.
Yeah, I
yeah.
love it. I have it on my phone. I read it every day. It's a great resource for
That's
you.
That's right. This episode is partially brought to you by the Date the Word app, and every single day connects God's word to today's date to make it more memorable for you. You
That's
can
right.
download it for free right this very moment.
You know, on episodes past of the Clearview Today Show, and even just here at Clearview, Clearview, the place where John, myself, Dr. Shaw, where all of us are working, mm-hmm. Leadership is very important.
Yes.
And it's the crux of any organization is going to be the leader. It rises and falls with the level of leadership.
And people think that it just happens to be that way. Like, that's just the way of the world. But leadership is something that has to be cultivated.
Yes.
And if you don't have a mind to cultivate it, that's not my natural bent, is to cultivate a spirit of leadership.
Yeah.
I have to be led in that way by someone who is thinking that,
yeah.
You know, because I'm a very free flowing, go with the flow, see where the world takes you. But nature is not kind of like we're talking about.
Yeah.
Nature itself is not going to just take you and your life on a path that is good for you. It has to be fostered by someone who has a mind for God and who has a mind for leadership.
Exactly. And Dr. Shaw is that leader for us, who is kind of like the captain of the organization, the one driving the bus. And it's important that he develops himself as a leader in order to develop us as leaders. And that's been our journey over the past more than decade now. And we talked about it on the episode today, but we want to devote today's episode to Dr. Shaw's journey as a leader and what leadership means in our culture here at Clearview, especially as it relates to the Clearview Today Show.
And what resources you guys can do. Can take with you from this episode to cultivate cultures of leadership, yeah. in your own organization, whether it's a church or a ministry or a secular business or an organization, whatever it is, it's being driven by a leader.
Yeah.
You want to make sure that it's being driven by the right leader.
Right.
So what resources do we use here on the Clearview Today Show and in Clearview Church to cultivate that? We're going to talk about that on today's episode.
That's right. We're going to grab Dr. Shaw and continue this discussion in just a minute. But if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, write in and let us know at 252-582-5028, or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. We'll be right back.
Hey. Hey, you.
Me?
No, not you. You, listening to the Clearview Today Show. You're here right now because you love Christian talk radio, and I'm 100% down for that. But what if I told you that Clearview Church also produces original music?
That's right. At Clearview, we're more than just a church. We're a vibrant family where everyone is encouraged to worship God right where they are.
We wanted to make sure that your worship doesn't stop when you walk out the door on Sunday morning.
Our music is more accessible than ever. You can worship God in any situation. In the car, at home, in the gym, while cleaning your house, wherever you are, we'll be right there with you.
You can check us out on Apple Music or on Spotify, anywhere digital music is consumed. We got a few singles out right now. We have an EP out as well. And right now, at this moment, actually, we are working on our first ever full-length original album. Hopefully that's going to be out sometime this coming summer.
Clearview Worship on iTunes and Spotify is your 24/7 place for inspiration and worship. Follow us today and let God's message of hope, love, and faith be a guiding light in your life.
Amen. Let's hop back into the show.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shaw, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028.
That's right, and we are here in the Clearview Today studio with Dr. Abadan Shaw, who is a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, professor at Carolina University, author, full-time pastor, and the host of today's show. You can find all his work on his website. That's abadanshaw.com.
And Dr. Shaw, you are the captain of this ship. You're the bus driver. You're the one...
I was
out
gonna,
in front.
Where are we going with this?
Yeah, in charge.
Gonna,
what I'm saying
say,
is,
oh, captain,
I didn't know where you're going with this.
But that's not a great.
No, not that. No, yeah,
not
that.
That, not that, that
what I'm saying is, you're the leader of a team.
Thank you.
And we are part of that team, and we look to you as our leader. But the team has kind of shifted and grown and expanded over the years. So the way that you have developed your leadership style matters in how you've been able to lead us as individuals and collectively as a team. My question is, how in the world do you do it?
What are the leadership secrets of Abadan Shaw?
Well, I don't know if they're secrets. I think they're more like stealing. I've stolen from different people.
That in and of itself may be a leadership secret.
Yes.
Just steal it.
You gave me that advice once. I don't mean to interrupt you, but you gave me that advice once when I first started wanting to break into writing for here at Clearview. And I was like, how do you do it? And you said, steal. Mm-hmm. Copy everything you can.
There's originality no original is law. Overblown.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is not true. Everybody gets it from somebody.
That's right.
Now, don't plagiarize it, mm-hmm. which is definitely wrong.
Right.
But learning from somebody and then making it your own and wrestling with it and then creating something fresh and new, mm-hmm. that's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So not just copy-paste, that's called plagiarism, but learning and adapting and then developing something that will help somebody else, that is most of life.
That's right. That's right. And I think especially when it comes to leadership style, a lot of people, I think, get caught up in this Hollywood idea of the reluctant leader, this guy who's just kind of thrust into greatness. And we forget that a lot of leaders seek out opportunities to lead.
Right.
Because that's who they are at birth, or they see the potential of becoming that great leader.
Yeah. Very early in my life, I was in leadership positions. Mm-hmm. Like when I was in school, I was first in class. When I was in middle school, I began to rise up in leadership. Mm-hmm. You know, I was one of the students who helped out with programming and planning things at the school. And then when I went into high school, I quickly became part of the leadership team. Mm-hmm. And then I was the head boy. Now, they don't have head boys and head girls in this part of the world, but overseas in private schools and in classical schools, they have head boys, which means you're the president of the student body.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's what I became.
And it's not just like a title, like a superlative here. Like
no.
It's not like most likely to succeed. You don't do anything with it.
Right.
Head boy and head girl actually make decisions and yes. are in leadership positions.
That's right. And we had a kind of a almost like a chain of command right. where there were four houses. Mm-hmm. You know, I know a local school now, a Christian school is doing that. Mm-hmm. We had that growing up 40 years ago. So red, blue, green, yellow. Mm-hmm. And each of them would have their prefects.
Right.
And then they would have assistant prefects. And, you know, in each house, in each class would have their leadership. And then each house would sort of rotate and do different things. So red house would be discipline this month. Yellow house would be cleanliness. Mm-hmm. Everybody hated that. It's like cleanliness. We are the trash pickers.
So I was going to say, is that what they would do? People. They would be going pick up the trash and stuff?
It was not they would pick up the trash. They would sort of put signs up on the notice boards.
Gotcha.
You know, how important it is to clean your mess.
Did people ignore the signs?
Oh, yeah. All the time. All the time. And if you knew the other house, then you would just like conveniently. But if you would get in trouble if you did that.
Yeah.
And then you know that when your turn comes up, they'll do it too. So it's better not to do that.
Right.
And then there was also, so red was, it changed every month. But let's just say red was discipline this month. Yellow would be cleanliness. Green would be progress. So they would do shows and plays and prayers and whatever needed to be done. They were organizing that. And then blue would be something else. I can't remember what the fourth. So, and they would rotate every month.
Wow.
And then at the end of the month, we would get in front of our principal, who was a nun, and they would make their case. So I was a Blue House prefect at one time, and we make a case like, you know, we did this and this and this, and then they would make their case, and then we would get a chance to say, but there's things they did not do. They were supposed to do this, and it did not get done.
So do the houses work against each other in that way?
They don't work against each other, but when it came time to getting the points, like who won.
Oh, I got you, got you.
We would make our case.
I see.
And then the decision was made, okay, I think this week Blue House was cleanliness, and they knocked it out of the park. Mm-hmm. Discipline was not as great or progress was not as great. And so these are lessons I was learning when I was 13, 14 years of age.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Were you Blue House for life? Like once you're in that house?
Once you're in the house, you're in the house.
So you were Blue House.
Until I became the head boy, then I am over all houses.
Oh, that's right. Because you had the sash or the tie that had the different colors on. Uh-huh. Yeah,
we had a sash when there were special occasions. We put it on.
Yeah.
It was a big deal. Now it's like funny to think about that, but back then it was like you put it on, you're like,
that's a big deal.
That's official.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
And so, so then when I was a head boy, I was always a little partial to my Blue House.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But at the same time, I had to be neutral.
Well, yeah. I think that's something that is kind of missing, at least when I was growing up. I don't remember students ever being in a leadership position.
Yeah.
They may have students like, you know, working on the yearbook committee or something like that. But other than that, there's not really students learning how to be leaders.
Now, keep in mind, my school that I went to was a Catholic school, private school. And so the standards were very, very high. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so this is not the normal thing in every school in India.
Yeah.
There were schools that were just like the schools here sometimes. You go, what do the kids do here other than complain?
Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah.
pretty much all they do.
Yeah. It's like the focus is not really teaching them or learning them anything. It's just getting them through the system.
Yeah.
Just,
yeah.
It's not worried about whether you learn. It's just about whether you pass.
But yeah. I can remember in school, like my senior year, I took a class on leadership. But the class itself was just like, here are the different styles of leadership. Now you're going to go decorate bulletin boards. That was it.
Yeah,
there was no opportunities to lead. Yeah. There was no developing you as a leader. Right. It was just, we're going to teach you this information. Yeah. And then now you have some projects to do.
So leadership was something that was part of my life, and even at church,
mm-hmm.
because not because I had a position, but because I was the pastor's son. Mm-hmm. My brother was sort of in a position, but then he moved, he left, went overseas to study. So I was in that position. So I was leading the youth a little bit, and I was helping out with the music ministry and all that. I was the one setting up the sound system. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was nothing like what we have today,
right,
in our church, but it was for early 80s.
Yeah.
It did what it needed to do. It had an amplifier. It had a soundboard. It had
yeah.
microphones and speakers.
I've seen pictures of it. You showed me pictures yeah. of y'all's sound system back in the 80s, and I did think it was kind of cool, like that even over there in India, there's like, what with what we have, we're going to be the cutting edge. We're
yeah.
going
yeah.
to do everything that we can do
yeah.
to make this impact.
Early 80s, we had an overhead projector,
mm-hmm.
which is something that even here, churches didn't have until like the 90s.
True.
And we had it
mm-hmm.
because my dad ordered that from Germany.
Wow.
Yeah. The company is called Buhl, B-U-H-L. And he ordered that, and we brought it in. So leadership.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about leadership today.
Right.
This is something you have to inculcate early.
Well, so that's what I was going to ask you, because this is something that's clearly been part of your life since childhood. I didn't start working here until 21. And so having to learn these leadership lessons.
At 21 years of age.
21 years of age. Yes,
yeah. You came here in 2013.
Right. Right. Yeah. The year was 2013. What do you say to someone, or how do you give someone that? Maybe they don't have that leg up, but is it impossible for someone to learn leadership tactics later in life?
I don't think it's impossible. I don't think it's impossible, but it is difficult.
Mm-hmm.
It is difficult because leadership is not popular. You're going to be criticized. Mm. Your motives will be judged. You will be bad-mouthed. You will be harassed.
Mm-hmm.
This is part of the thing. Now, even as a student, 12, 13, 14 years of age, I already was dealing with some of these things
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. because, yeah, are they criticizing us? Why are they criticizing us? Because we didn't do that. That's not right. I mean, this is how we were discussing.
Right.
Today's kids, what are they discussing? I don't know.
Yeah.
Or most of the time, parents are busy coddling them. Mm-hmm. And you can do that, friends. I mean, I'm talking to the people listening and viewing. If you coddle your kids too much, you're not helping them.
No, beware. Right. You're setting them up for failure.
Yeah.
You're setting them up for a lot of troubles.
They're going to be permanent kids. They're not
yeah.
going to grow into that maturity. They're not going to grow into that adulthood because you haven't given them opportunities in a safe space to
yeah.
do that.
Or, in a sense, kind of pushed them into the water.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Push them in that water.
Yeah.
You're busy protecting them and keeping them from facing up to consequences.
Did you see that back home growing up, or was that something that you saw primarily in the West?
No, it happened there too. There are families who did the same thing.
Gotcha.
Not to the extent it happens in the West.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Okay, not to the extent. Here, it's very prevalent.
It's
and very sad.
Yeah.
Parents think they're helping their children, but they're not.
Mm-hmm.
They're crippling them.
Yeah. That's why you see so few leaders in like Gen Z leaders. Like, they're there, they exist,
yeah,
but not nearly to the extent that you see them in older generations.
They become more rare at that point.
But it's not just because they're young, it's because they're being sort of emotionally and mentally right. crippled,
yeah, you know,
by their
yeah.
parents.
Yeah. Because the parents feel like, I got to do this for them. Mm-hmm. They can't do this. I have to protect them. And even do protect your children. Give them a leg up in life. Help them out. Stand for them. Fight for them. But make sure that truth is truth,
right.
and they have to face up to their consequences. Don't dull the pain and just always come to their rescue. Be the safety net. Don't overdo that. You'll have so many problems down the road, and not just you. Other people will have problems because of your kids.
Definitely. Do you think parents want their kids to become leaders, but they think it just happens naturally? Do you think that parents believe that?
I don't even think if they even think that far.
That's what I was going to say. I don't even think that that's a thought that crosses their minds. They just want their kids to be happy and safe.
Huh.
Just be happy.
Yeah.
Find somebody to love you and treat you nice.
And that's it.
And don't move too far
away. Is he going to treat her nice? Is she going to treat them nice? That's not it, even a discussion.
Right. Huh.
Just find someone who'll treat you nice.
Right.
You hear that all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just want him to find someone who'll treat him nice. I'm like, is he nice?
Yeah.
What about vice versa?
Yeah, is he a good,
is he gonna treat her nice?
Is he a good person?
Is he a good person? Is he well rounded? Does he know how to live?
We're not talking about that.
Oh, okay. Well, just find someone.
A good Christian guy or a good Christian girl. Is he a good Christian guy?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we've been in church all his life. I mean, he's a good boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
he's a good boy.
He says yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am.
Yeah. There's some good boys that say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am who don't know how to lead. And if they can't lead themselves, if they can't lead their own lives, then how can they lead a family? How can they lead a wife? Yeah. How can they one day lead a church or any organization at all? But it's like, I don't know.
I'm so thankful that's a part of the culture here at Clearview, especially for our students and our student ministry growing up. In those 6th through 12th grade years, they're given opportunities to lead.
Yeah.
That's something that's infused into them, that you're expected to be a leader, especially the older guys. I mean, we make that a point to stress to them, you're called by God to be a leader, whether you think of yourself as one or not. Let's talk about what that looks like.
Well, at Clearview, we have the Leadership Initiative, which is taking John Maxwell's teachings and then taking his courses and teaching our young people. And I know we can do a whole lot more with that, but we have begun that about 2 years ago, I think 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And we are really focusing on that now.
Yeah.
Because we want young people who leave our church or who are graduating and moving away or graduating, staying in the community, coming to church, but they are now part of the young adult ministry or they're getting married. We want them to be leaders.
Right.
Yeah. What does that process look like, Ryan? Maybe like if there's youth pastors or youth workers or ministry leaders here who are listening, who are like, man, right now, my students, I'm just a place for them to go.
Yeah.
They don't do anything. They just hang out at the church. What does that process look like?
I would say your first thing to do is to, I mean, like you said with worship before, meet with your lead pastor. I mean, the two of you together need to spearhead that initiative, because if you want them to be leaders, then the expectation is they're not just going to go through this course. They're going to be leaders in the church.
Right.
So what does that process look like in building them up and to be being leaders, young men and women who will step into those leadership roles? Mm-hmm. And the second thing is, John Maxwell has this principle himself. Become a leader yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't lead people past where you yourself are. That's a John Maxwell principle, the law of the lid. You can't develop someone into a leader past the point of your own capabilities. Yeah. So you need to be learning. You need to be growing as a leader. And then it's intentionality in your relationships. Mm-hmm. It's taking that time to pour into and invest in those people where you've identified those leadership principles.
Yeah. And then for our students, like I know what we do is, Ryan, you and Dr. Shaw will sort of lead them through this program week by week. They'll meet every single week. And then at the end of it, the students will stand up in front of their peers and sort of, I don't know if I would really call it a sermon, but they will kind of give a message that they've written for their peers.
Yeah. It's a 15-minute message. And it's designed to what do you think your peers need to walk away knowing? What do you feel like you need to speak into their lives? And it's a 12-week course. We meet every once a week for about an hour. But they have projects throughout that course that develop them in that leadership ability, especially leading among their peers. It's one thing to lead people who are younger than you.
Yeah.
It's different when you lead your peers or even people who are older than you. So learning how to do that, learning how to make connections, build bridges, get out of your comfort zone and talk to people. And then ultimately leading up to that graduate presentation where they're speaking for 15 minutes in front of their peers.
And then I would say the flip side of that with you, Dr. Shaw, on the adult side of things is the men's Tuesday morning prayers, because I remember we talked about this a long while back, almost a year and a half ago. It was just a dream. We were like, what if we just got up in the morning, just us, the staff, and just met here at the church at, I don't know, 5 a.m. and just prayed over the church every week. And then slowly that dream started to become, well, what if we got some men to do it? What if, what if they came up here too? And then we actually started doing it. And then it was like, well, what if this become lay-led? And what if now some of the men are leading it? And one by one, those steps of leadership have been put into place.
Right. And all this is part of our leadership culture here at Clearview Church.
Right.
One of the things that I've done is lead myself, just like what Ryan was saying. I have to lead my own self. If I cannot lead myself, how can I lead other people?
That's right.
So I have to lead myself intellectually. Mm-hmm. So I went to school, went to seminary, got my PhD. Not everybody has to get a PhD, but that's what I feel like God had called me to do.
Right.
So I got that. I had to lead myself emotionally. I cannot be a basket case. I cannot just be up and down in my emotions. One day I feel this way, so I'm going to go ahead and do all in, and another day I'm all flat, and so I'm just going to sit there.
Yeah.
No, I have to properly lead myself emotionally. Mm-hmm. I have to lead myself mentally. Mm-hmm. Means I have to educate myself. Not just the books I read in seminary, now it's done. Let me sell them or put them on my bookshelf so I look smart, mm-hmm. but I'm not reading. So I had to educate myself in my field,
right.
Educate myself in pastoral ministry, educate myself in preaching. I mean, still to this day, I read at least 1 to 2 books on preaching every year.
Wow.
Now, this is other than other books that I read.
Right.
Then I have to lead myself with regards to my physical health. Mm-hmm. And so I have to educate myself. What am I eating? How am I exercising? What's keeping me from going to the gym? Well, what's keeping me from going to the gym is I'm a very busy person. Okay, so you're going to be in bad health and you're going to get up there overweight telling people how to live the Christian life. Mm. Well.
Yeah.
What a poor example.
Right. Why would they
listen
you?
To me? Yeah. Right. Yeah. So I had to learn to lead myself even in that aspect, and that was a tough one. Mm-hmm. So all these places, and it's not like I completed that and then I moved to leading other people. No, already I was leading people in other places. I was a principal of a school.
Right.
I was the moderator of our association for several years. I've been in leadership capacity on different boards. Nonprofits, chamber, education board, public school board, foundation board. But then also I felt like our own team needed to learn how to lead, mm-hmm. not just to be following me. They need to follow me and in the process lead other people,
mm-hmm.
okay, who will follow them. So years ago, if y'all remember that, we began reading these books.
Mm, yes, mm-hmm. I do.
And one of the books that we read was The Leadership Secrets of Billy Graham, mm-hmm. by Harold Myra and Marshall Shelley. This is coming from Harold Myra was the CEO of Christianity Today, mm-hmm. and Marshall Shelley was the vice president of Christianity Today International and the editor of Leadership Journal. So I've read their books before, mm-hmm. different books they have written. This book, I forgot where I saw it. I think I saw it at the Lifeway bookstore because mm-hmm. it has the same sticker here, and I got it.
Yeah.
But I didn't have time, so it sat on my bookshelf for several years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this book came out in 2005, mm-hmm. but I think it sat on my bookshelf for good 4 or 5 years.
Before you got around to reading it.
Before I got around to it. But then I pulled it out. I'm like, okay, it's time.
Yeah.
And I loved it.
Yeah.
I had read Billy Graham's biography, Just As I Am, mm-hmm. autobiography. And I had read different articles on him and his ministry and how he conducted himself and all of that. But then reading this book and then reading the principles that these two guys distilled from Billy Graham's life really helped me. So even though his staff was just me, but I was beginning to realize, okay, so if I'm going to have a bigger impact, which means more people, which means more leadership, then I need to know how to teach them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And when you guys came along, we began this book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think we've read through that book twice as a staff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's really helped me a lot because Billy Graham is one of those figures who is iconic and legendary, and yet you really end up learning more from his mistakes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's a lot of times where leadership books, there's a propensity for them to tell you all the things that they did right. And if you just buy this book, buy this 12-step program, follow me, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
But what is unique about Billy Graham's story is a lot of them are like, hey,
I messed up.
I messed up bad. I messed up to the president of the United States. Yeah. I had the most powerful man in the world angry with me.
Yeah.
Learn from that.
Yeah, that's one of the things I appreciated the most about that book. And that one always has a special place in my heart because it's the first one that we started reading together. But it doesn't shy away from those failures. It doesn't shy away from those mistakes. But it says, here's what Billy learned through this. Here's what you ought to learn so that you can avoid this mistake.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And just that candid approach to, you know, he wasn't a perfect man, but he was a good man and he was a great leader. And here's how we can learn from that.
And I think it goes back to what you guys were saying about leading yourself. I would say a very small minority of that book is actually tactics. It's mostly character.
Yeah. It is character.
It's mostly integrity.
And there are books on tactics that you do need to read.
Right.
And strategy and planning and execution. Those books are very important. Maybe we can talk about that another time.
Absolutely.
But this one, you're right. Primarily, it's about character, about principles, about things that matter, those kind of things.
Yeah.
Hopefully today was helpful for you. Make sure you check out that link in the description box below. If you'd like more information on this or other leadership resources, write in and let us know, 252-582-5028, or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Don't forget, you can partner with us financially on that same website. Every gift that you give goes not only to building up this radio show, but countless other ministries for the kingdom of God. John, what's coming up on tomorrow's episode?
Talking about the importance of Sunday school. There was a man long, long time ago. I'm talking all the way back in like the, might have been the 1800s.
Oh,
Robert Raikes.
Robert Raikes?
Yeah, Robert Raikes. Really, really important dude. And guess what? He instituted and promoted this idea of Sunday school.
Mm.
Very, very important part of the church. And yet, sadly, we're starting to see a decline. And I actually think it's been a decline for a long while.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that tomorrow and the importance of Sunday school, why you should implement it in your church.
Make sure you guys are here. We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow on Clearview Today.